Let's turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 this morning. The title of the message this morning is The Mirror of Representation. The Mirror of Representation. Looking in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. This is a passage of Scripture that we read actually last Sunday night. And so I kind of want to read this as just a reminder of how applicable the things that we read, the things that we preach on, teach on here, how applicable these things are. So I want to begin here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. If you would please stand in honor of God's Word as we read this together. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation," and in King James, when it says conversation, that's not just, you know, what the thing, your dialogue, things you talk about, but it's talking about your life, your way of life. "Having your conversation, your way of life, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Let's Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. God, for what a foundation it is, that God, it just gives us just such an unshakable foundation for our lives, for our beliefs, for our purpose, for everything that we do, to understand the truth. God, that is really what it's about. It's about the truth. And we know that things get so obscured today, as we've already discussed a little bit this morning, that there's a lot of obscurity. There's a lot of twisting, there's a lot of manipulation, but God, we're thankful that your word tells us the truth, that it is a bright light and it shines light into darkness. And God, I pray that would, as your word has done that ever since you first gave it, really even as you spoke this universe into existence, I pray that your word would have that impact and that effect this morning upon each one of us, that your word would shine as a light into darkness in each one of our hearts. But Father, I pray that you would take this message this morning, these scriptures going to be reading, and that they would be a challenge to us, and that every one of us would come in here looking at ourselves and examining ourselves, just as your word says, to see if we are found in the faith. And so God, we pray for your blessing upon this time. We pray for your Holy Spirit, God, to empower these words, God, that Lord, we can just talk until we're blue in the face and nothing will happen. God, it takes your Holy Spirit to drive these things home for us into our hearts and into our minds, that our lives can be transformed by them. And God, that's the work that we cannot do, but God, we want to start with prayer this morning and asking and begging, God, that you would do that work, the work that only you can do. But God, we thank you for hearing this prayer. God, we want to pray for all the needs. God, we pray for Cheryl Moneymaker, God, this morning especially, God, as she's lost Gary yesterday, and for all of his family, God. And we love Gary so much, such a good friend to us for many years. And God, just we just pray that you would give comfort during this time and a peace, just as Tori was just singing about, that you would give that peace. We pray the same for Josh Bradmer, for his family, for the family of his sister who was tragically killed. God, we pray, God, that you would help her children, help her father, help all of their family, God, help Josh and all of his family, God, during this difficult time. And Father, there's just so many things going on, Lord, that we just look to you, Father, and ask for your help and your blessing. And that, Father, just as Bill said earlier, that we would just put our trust 100% in you and all these things, God, and know, Lord, that you will work all these things for our good ultimately. But we pray and ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. As we get started this morning, I want to begin this morning with three inflammatory statements. And I want to get you thinking. I want to get your attention, or maybe I'll just get your blood boiling so that you won't fall asleep during the message. But I'm going to give three inflammatory statements. Are you ready? Number one, I believe Joe Biden makes a wonderful representative of the United States. I believe that Joe Biden is a wonderful representative of the United States. Is it boiling yet? Stay tuned. Number two, I believe that Donald J. Trump has been one of the best representatives of the United States. I said that 4 years ago, 2016, I said, we have elected an excellent representative. We've elected another excellent representative this past week. Ready for number three? I believe that Jesus Christ would be a horrible representative of the United States. Are you inflamed? I'm telling you the truth. Now, what's the next question you need to ask? You want to go and punch me in the face? That's the way we think now, right? What's the next question you need to ask? Jordan, raise your hand. Jordan, what do you mean by representative? I'm glad you asked. That's what you need to ask. What do you mean by a representative? It can mean different things. If I were to ask you to paint a picture of me, anybody here an artist? Anybody here that can draw well? Okay, one person. Okay, two. If I were to ask you, I would like for you to paint a portrait of me for my birthday. I guess you heard me, it's my birthday, 39th birthday, and I sit in a chair, and I look very dignified, and you paint a picture of me, and then you hand it to me. And you hand it to me, and I look at it, and I flinch like, whoa, yikes. And I said, you nailed it. It's like looking in a mirror. This is a perfect representation. Now, it's not pretty, but it's a perfect representation. If it's pretty, you missed it. Thank you, that's flattering. If you send me, if you hand me a picture and I look like just a model, if I just look, I mean, you know, without flaw, you know, thank you for this flattery. Thank you for this favorable representation, but it's not accurate. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I'm talking about representation, I'm talking about that which accurately represents the reality. Jesus Christ would be a flawless, perfect leader. No question. He's inerrant, he's infallible, he's infinite. Christ would be the perfect leader. Donald Trump is very flawed. Joe Biden is very flawed. But they are good representatives. And Jesus Christ would be a horrible representative. That's what I mean this morning. An accurate representation. Now that may be a bitter pill, but I think we have accurate representation. I think that Joe Biden, his beliefs, his ideas are an accurate representation of the country, of a majority of the country. Now maybe you smile at that, maybe you cringe like I do look at my picture, but I think it is accurate. I think it is accurate. Maybe you found out this week, and this is hard. I'm not going to say that it's not. But maybe you found out this week that you don't live in the country you think you live in. Maybe you need to have a reality check. Maybe you found out 4 years ago you don't live in the country you think you live in. I mean, I like to think, hey, I'm pretty good. But when you really paint spot on, perfect representation of me, and you show it to me, I want to think that I look better than that. When I go look in the mirror and I look at that picture and say, you nailed it. It's not pretty, but you know, where'd all my hair go? That you've messed this up. Wait a minute. No, you've nailed it. I may not like that reality, but you've nailed it. I think that's what we're talking about this morning. I think it's what we're experiencing this morning. Now I want to say this. Joe Biden does not share my beliefs and ideas. He does not share my worldview. I've said this, and I hope you're listening to what I say. I've been saying this for the past 4 years. Donald Trump does not share my beliefs and ideas. He does not share my worldview. Both these men want my vote, but they do not share my worldview. What is a worldview? Let's go to the next slide. Worldview. This is just I could give definitions. I mean, go and look this up. We talk about worldview a lot here, but just when I say worldview, I mean a particular philosophy of life or conception of the world. Myself and Joe Biden have different philosophies of life and different conceptions of the world. Myself and Donald Trump have different philosophies of life and different conceptions of the world. I've said this within even the last few weeks, that my beliefs, what I believe is true, my beliefs, my ideas, my worldview does not align with Joe Biden. It does not align with Donald Trump. And in fact, they're closer to each other than they are to me. I've said that in the last few weeks. And I still mean that. These two men do not share my worldview. When I say worldview, that's talking about beliefs about everything, especially the big questions of life and existence. Let me give you a few examples here. The big questions of life and existence. How you answer these questions, that's what determines your worldview. It's almost like a worldview is a set of glasses you put on. If they have a reddish tint to them, then everything will have a reddish tint. If they have a bluish tint, everything will have a bluish tint. It's how you view the world. It's how you view all these things. And so the big questions of life and existence about God, about creation, the universe, about humanity, about purpose, moral order, moral behavior, what is right and what is wrong, knowledge, the future, history, work. These are the big things of life. I mentioned four words a few months ago about how you can, the big picture of life, the big questions of life have to do with origin, meaning. What was the next one? Origin. I get this from Avi Zacharias, which, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, there's a lot of issues there, but what he says in this is correct. The big questions of life have to do with origin, how we got here, how do we exist? You have to answer that question because it determines why we exist, meaning. Morality is the next one. Origin, meaning, morality, how should we live? And destiny, what happens next? These are the big questions of life. How you answer these questions, how you view these things. Are you a theist? Do you believe there's a God? Or are you an atheist? There is no God. That changes everything about your life. Do you believe there's one God? Are you a monotheist? Or do you believe there are many gods? Are you a polytheist? That has a bearing upon your life. What you believe about God, what you believe about creation, what you believe about the universe, humanity. Is it okay to take human life? What do you believe about humanity? Purpose, moral order, behavior, moral behavior, knowledge, future, the future, history, work, origin, meaning, morality, destiny. Donald Trump and I have different ideas about this. About if we were to sit down and have a conversation about God, I don't think we would agree. If I were to sit down and have a conversation with Joe Biden about God, I don't think we would agree. Or about creation, or about the universe, the origin of things, origin of life. About human beings, the nature of human beings. Do you believe that we're created in God's image? I think it's going to put you at odds with a lot of people. Why are you here? I think your answer is going to be different than a lot of people. Let's go on to the next slide. Some other more specific questions. What I have is a biblical worldview. I have a biblical worldview. My worldview, I had different views, but my views have changed over time in light of God's Word. Now this book gets treated like an object. Well, the Bible, stand with the Bible, 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 but nobody ever opens it. This is not a prop. It's to be opened and read and applied and interpreted in context and to apply it to our life. This is not just some prop that people refer to as an object. Well, the Bible. I hear people say it all the time and they don't know what they're talking about. They're misrepresenting God's Word. That's a serious thing. But here's some more specific questions about a biblical worldview. I got these questions off of a Barna survey that they would call people to ask them these questions to see if these individuals have a biblical worldview. Let's read through the list together. Is God the all-powerful and all-knowing creator of the universe, and does He still rule it today? What's your answer to that? Yes. That's my answer. Yes. I believe that. And you know, we're going to get to this in a minute, but does your life reflect that? If you really believe that, it changes everything. It changes your life. It transforms your life if you really believe. Just number one. Let's go on down. Does absolute moral truths exist? Yes or no? Or Here's an alternative. Are they relative? Does it depend on the situation? Does it depend on what's going to benefit you the most? Here's the thing about, here's what you have to understand about politicians. These questions will be answered differently depending on who they're standing in front of. Because they're going to answer it in a way that gets them the most votes. That's what's driving them, Republican and Democrat. You understand that? You know why Christ would be a horrible representative? You know why Christ would never be elected? Because he'd tell the truth.
Amen.
And this country cannot stand the truth. We do not want the truth. Okay? We want our version of the truth. Relativism. I reject relativism. I want the truth. That's why every Sunday I say, if you have questions, if something didn't make sense, if I said something you think is wrong, please talk to me. Because I want the truth. If I'm wrong, I want to change. It's about the truth. It's not about my opinions. It's about the truth. Is absolute, do absolute moral truths exist? Yes. Is absolute truth defined by the Bible, by God's revelation? Yes. Is the Bible accurate in all of its teachings? Did Jesus Christ live a sinless life? Is salvation a gift of God that cannot be earned? Is Satan real? Is hell real? Does a Christian have a responsibility to share his or her faith in Christ with other people?
Amen.
If you answer yes to all those, and it gets deeper than this, it gets more complex than this, than just these few questions. But if you answer yes to all of these, then they would say you have a biblical worldview. I hold a biblical worldview. Joe Biden does not have a biblical worldview. Donald Trump does not have a biblical worldview. They don't. And if that burst your bubble, I'm sorry. But they don't. We have to deal with the reality. We have to deal with the truth. We were singing a song earlier. Nothing. Nothing is better than you. There is nothing. Nothing is better than you. I think that's part of a biblical worldview. There's nothing. There's nothing. Health, a long life, money, power, notoriety, fame. Nothing is better than you. Do you think Donald Trump would say that? I think the evidence says otherwise. I think he thinks a lot of things are more important. I'll say this, if Donald Trump could affirm atheism and get into office for 4 more years, do you think he would do it? It would have the opposite effect. And again, this is speculation. I think he would do it. Because I think that's what he really wants. And understand this, there are things I agree with Donald Trump. And there are things I agree with Joe Biden. But there are things I strongly disagree with each of them. And we have to be honest about that. And don't believe this lie that it's a package deal. You have to accept it all or reject it all. You absolutely do not.
Amen.
You do not. Joe Biden does not have a biblical worldview. I wish that he did. Donald Trump does not have a biblical worldview. I wish that he did. I'm praying that they both can. But I have to be honest and I have to be realistic and say, but they don't. They don't. Because president-elect, do you know why they don't hold a biblical worldview as president and president-elect? Because the United States of America does not have a biblical worldview. It doesn't. Are you ready for a real shocker? And I take this from a Barna study because the numbers will shock you. The vast majority of Christians do not have a biblical worldview. When they interview them, ask these questions. The vast majority of evangelical born-again Christians do not have a biblical worldview. That's the world you live in. That's the nation you live in. And you need to know that. And I need to know that. And come to terms with it. My worldview, my beliefs and ideas represent a tiny minority in the United States. I'm going to say that again. A biblical worldview, the worldview that I espouse, that I hold, my beliefs and ideas about the world, about reality, represent a tiny minority in the United States. That does not mean they're wrong, but it represents a tiny minority in the United States of America. I do not believe and think like the vast majority of my fellow Americans. You might say this, I am a pilgrim and I'm a stranger. Haven't we read that somewhere? Go to the next slide if you would, Julie. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. We talked about this last Sunday night. I'm just reminding you this morning of something we talked about a week ago. If you're a Christian in this world, 2,000 years ago or this morning, you are a pilgrim and you are a stranger. You don't have the majority, and you'll never have the majority in this world. You will represent a minority. And your beliefs and your ideas, I am a pilgrim and I am a stranger. That's the truth. That's the situation. And then here's the application of that. As a pilgrim and as a stranger in this world, I am to live my life differently if that's true. Notice what's emboldened now. I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, if that's you, if you have a biblical worldview, if you believe what God has said, if you believe that Christ is God, He's the Son of God, if you believe the things that we rattled off earlier, you are to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation, your way of life, honest among the Gentiles, those that are outside the people of God. That doesn't mean someone who's not Jewish or descendant of Abraham. That means people who are outside the people of God. In this context, in 1 Peter, I'm not taking that out of context. He's already explained some of that in chapter 1. Having your way of life, your conversation, honest amongst those who are outside the people of God. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, and you will be maligned. There are people, when they look at me, they see a bigot. They see a radical. They see somebody who is highly offensive to them because of what I believe. And I believe that it's true. Whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You'll know them by their fruits. Not everyone who claims to be Christian is Christian. You'll know them by their fruits. There's visible things. You can't see my beliefs and my ideas, but you can watch my life and you can tell what I believe and what I think, what my worldview is. We live in the information age. Unfortunately, we also live in the disinformation age. There's a lot of disinformation out there. We live in a very confusing time, a manipulative time. Christianity is rational. It is rational. You mark my words. It is intelligible and it is intellectually defensible. Christianity makes sense. But that does not mean that every person who claims to be a Christian is rational. That does not mean that every person that claims to be a Christian and their views are intellectually defensible or that they make sense. Typically, when I hear the most insane string of garbage you've ever heard, it's met at the end, because the Bible says so. Please stop saying insane things and claiming that's based upon the Bible. I'm begging you. It's happening everywhere. God's Word is being misrepresented. If you're going to believe false ideas and insane ideas, keep them to yourself and say that's your opinion. Don't try to impugn God with that. We deal with truth and reality as Christians, as it is. We have to get our bearings straight. It is so easy to get distracted. It's so easy when we're bombarded constantly with talking and posting and media coverage, and understand you can't believe everything you read, you can't believe everything you hear. It is so easy to get off mission. It's so easy to lose focus, to get sucked in. To get focused on things that do not matter and to neglect or even damage things that do matter. I wonder how many Christians have lost their credibility this past week with others. Well, I can tell you this, a lot of them didn't have any credibility to start with. I've talked about this from this pulpit before. When you lose your credibility, It's gone. You don't, you can lose it in a day. You can't get it back the next day. It takes time to build credibility. We have to guard our testimonies and we have to guard our credibility. It is so easy to get sucked in, to get focused on things that do not matter, and to neglect or even damage the things that do matter, like our testimony and like our credibility. Talk is cheap. I'm not going to ask, do you hold to a biblical worldview? I'm going to ask this, does your life reflect a biblical worldview? That's the question I'm really after this morning. Does your life represent... We're talking about representation this morning. Does your life represent a biblical worldview? Let's say this. Let's say this book were to disappear. Could my coworkers, if you said Jordan is a Christian, could they write down, not knowing this, the attributes of a Christian? If they said, that is your model, that's what a Christian does, could they accurately reflect a biblical worldview just by watching my life? Okay, now what about your life? That's the challenge. Does your life represent a biblical worldview? I'll say this morning. We need to stop worrying so much about who is representing us and start worrying a lot about who we're representing in this world. That's what we're all focused on. Who's going to represent us? Who's going to represent us? Who are you representing? You bear the name Christian. I represent Him. How are you representing Him? Are you a good representation? Or are you a poor representation? We need to stop worrying so much about who is representing us and start worrying a lot more about who we are representing. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29. We'll look at two scriptures here simultaneously. Romans 8, 29. We'll also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Who are you representing? Romans 8, 29 says this: For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. It's kind of a political term. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. And that same context in, you know, I'd like to spend a lot of time going in the context of both of these scriptures, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's talking about now that you're a new creature in Christ, old things have passed away, all things have become new, we've been reconciled to God. Because of this, now then we are ambassadors of Christ. Now we are sent out as ministers of reconciliation. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. We are the apprentices of Christ. I keep saying it, I will continue to say it. We are the apprentices of Christ. We are to be His reflection in this world. We are to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says. We are to be His reflection in this world, to be His mirror image. I heard something this week that I thought was a good way of thinking about this. This is a gospel track. Millie, do you recognize this? She gave it to me. This is a gospel track. See how long that is? This tells you, briefly, how to go to heaven when you die. You're going to die. Gary Moneymaker died yesterday. He's been a great reminder to me this week, Jordan, this life is short. This life is short. Jessica Knight was a reminder to me, this life is short. How old was Jessica? 42 years old. 39 tomorrow. What if I got 3 years left? Do I change course? Or do I keep doing what I'm doing until the finish line? I don't know when the finish line comes. Life is short. This tells you how to go to heaven when you die. I thank God for gospel tracts. But now I have to ask, why this and not this? Why didn't God give us this? You know, a lot of people have a hard time with this book. It's complicated. It's hard. I mean, it's, you know, you got to get the context. You got to do research. I mean, it is hard work to read this. God, it's all about going to heaven when you die, right? If that's what it's all about, then why all of these? Why 800, almost 800,000 words? How about 800 words or less? What about 80 words? Can you not simplify it? I heard Dallas Willard say this week, and I think this is spot on. And I thank God for gospel tracts. You can't read this at a gas station or at a, you know, it's hard, you know, or on a nightstand in a hotel, but you can read this. This is a summary of this, but this is extremely important. This doesn't undermine this at all. But here's the difference. Here's where a lot of detail comes in. This is how you get people into heaven. But now this is how you get heaven into people. That's what we need. We need people who are heavenly. You see, if the Holy Spirit's in here, some heaven's come into here. The problem is it doesn't look like that. That's why the country is in the shape it's in. Because we're so busy trying to get people into heaven. We're not doing discipleship. We're not training people. We're not getting heaven into people. We're not getting heaven into young people. We're just trying to get them into heaven, if even that. There's a big difference. Because I tell you this, when you get heaven into people, you'll get them into heaven. Gary Moneymaker's experienced a tremendous change in his life the last few years. I think some heaven got into Gary Moneymaker. That's why I think he's in heaven now. That's what we're after. We need to get heaven into people. American political leaders are not the problem. Americans are the problem. And it starts with me. And it starts with you. It starts with us. We're the ambassadors. And yeah, we can be ignored. But what kind of message are we sharing? What kind of representation are we presenting? We are apprentices who have been given a work to do, and it is hard work. It's hard work to be the mirror image of Christ in this world. That's the goal. You know what it takes? Sacrifice. I don't get to just say whatever I want to say. I have to say what Christ wants me to say. I have to think the way Christ wants me to think. I have to have the attitude Christ wants me to have. It's not about my attitude. It's not about my opinion. It's not about me. It's about Christ. I don't want to be the image of Jordan in this world. I want to be the mirror image of Christ in this world. That's what we're called to be as Christians. Does it not say? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That conformity is happening every day in our life as Christians. And we're to be progressing in being conformed to the image of his Son. It is hard work to be the representatives of Christ in this world, to be ambassadors of Christ in this world. But you know, another scripture, we'll go over to Philippians chapter 2. Before we read this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Does anybody know that one? This is hard work. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, that's not just for Super Bowls or national championships or SEC championships. That's for trying to be representatives of Christ in this world. It's extremely hard, but it can be done. It can be done. It's not easy. It takes sacrifice. It takes changing. Allowing the Word of God to transform us, the Spirit of God to transform us, studying the Word of God, proving ourselves to be acceptable unto God by studying the Word of God, being thoroughly equipped as God's Word equips us for every good work. It is hard work, but it can be done through the power of Christ as He strengthens us. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to close with this morning, verse 14 through 16. Again, we're back to the mirror of representation. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. I'm already out this week. You been complaining any this week? Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We represent the light of the world. We are the lights of the world. As we close this morning, I'm going to ask Bill to come if he would, and Tori. Again, the mirror of representation. Are we an accurate representation of Christ? Even if that representation is not perfect, is it accurate? As we represent Christ in this world, as we stand, as we sing, we are to be His mirror image. I'm not there yet. I'll tell you this, I'm working every single day. I'm working every day, and the Holy Spirit is at work in me every single day, conforming me more and more to the image of His Son. That's what you need to be focused on. That's what I need to be focused on. That's all you can handle right there. Being conformed to the image of the Son of God. We want to be the mirror, a mirrored representation of Christ. As we sing this is kind of a, we treat this as a kid's song, but I think adults need